If I open with a scripture, if you'll put that Isaiah 22:22 up, I'll just share from that tonight. He says that I will lay upon his shoulder the key of the house of David, and no one shall shut, and he shall shut, and no one shall open. So, we've called this a year of breakthrough, and I want to ask Sean this question tonight. Why do you feel that we need prophetic direction and ministry? And then share, if you got something on your heart, a scripture you want to share, go ahead.
I think it's really important to understand the difference between end-time prophecy, personal prophecy, and prophecy that goes out body-wide words for the body of Christ. End-time prophecy is based on the book of Revelation and the old, the minor and major prophets, and we weigh those books, and they give us clues to about the times and the seasons. That we won't know the times, but we would know the seasons of Jesus' return, what would be going on in the last days. And so all scholars, about 4 years ago, all scholars from different streams, tribes, whatever you want to call them, all different backgrounds got together for a conference about the last days. And they all, obviously, if you get, I think there was probably 15 biblical prophecy scholars, you get them in the room, nobody agreed on a whole lot of anything except for a few things. They, some post-trib, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. They got their differences. But they did agree on this one thing, Pastor, and I thought it was very interesting, that every single one of those men of God said, we've got to stop preaching that Jesus is coming back soon, and we need to preach that Jesus is coming back very soon. Mm-hmm. That his return is not soon, it's imminent, it's at hand, that at any minute Jesus Christ could come back. And so Bible prophecy, when we're reading scriptures, it talks about the things concerning the Messiah, concerning his return, concerning the tribulation, concerning the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bema Seat judgment, the great white throne judgment, the thousand-year reign, all of those things that you can just get lost in. Now, personal prophecy, when the gift of prophecy or somebody stands in the office of a prophet, that is when you get an encouraging word that usually is exhorting, comforting, and it is extremely, that gift is for the body to be encouraged, to be exhorted. When it gets over into correction or direction, it should be weighed by a prophetic presbytery, mainly your pastor, elders. If somebody says, sell everything you have and go to China, you probably want to weigh that. Amen. I have had people that got that word and they're there. But a lot, those corrective or directive words need to be tested, weighed. The encouraging words are a little more, individually encouraging. So why do we need prophecy? This particular type of prophecy is to bring a, not to bring it to change any scriptural prophecy, but it gives enlightenment on what the Spirit of God is saying to his bride at this hour to prepare his people, the last day remnant. I believe we're in the last days. I believe that God, Jesus is coming back very soon. I believe that he put me and you here for such a time as this. And I want to know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people right now in his church. And so that's why I think that we need to differentiate that. Why is it important? We need to learn the difference so that we can. And this particular type of, when you're weighing prophetic words about the year, and you're weighing it to the you're weighing it into the last days, it's extremely important that you weigh it with other men of God who've been praying and seeking the Lord about last days prophecy. We've been doing this for 18 years, and have every time we come out of the prayer closet, we lay it out and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, talk to other men of God, and see where we have that confirmation.
So you would say that personal prophecy and prophecy in church would be basically prophecy that would edify the believer, build
Absolutely.
Them up.
Yes.
To encourage the believer.
Absolutely.
And to bring comfort and hope.
Yes.
And so personal prophecy wouldn't have an element of tearing somebody down, well, or necessarily be a warning to someone.
If there is a corrective word, that would be a corrective word, that it would never be out of love, because Jesus Christ is love. God is love. And so his nature, even in the Old Testament before the cross, is redemptive. Amen. So when you have someone that may give one of them, you act to the root words, it could be because they're immature in their gifting, or they're still unsubmitted areas of the soul or the flesh when they're giving. But according to the Word of God, that the Spirit of the Lord is love. And Moses couldn't go in the promised land because he misrepresented the word of the Lord. So I think that's really important that when we are giving a prophecy, even in a corrective prophecy, that we're doing it by the very character of God, which is love and redemption. So
I would think that there's a protocol involved in correction, and that would be that there would be someone in spiritual authority that would bring that corrective word, and they wouldn't necessarily always do it publicly.
Rarely.
To embarrass, because you know the Holy Spirit's never into embarrassing us.
That's right.
But you would do it privately, or you would do it in a setting with a small group of leaders so that you could do it, and it would always be done, as you said, in love.
Absolutely.
So now let me ask you this. What do you feel that God is saying for 2017? I have five things that God spoke to me that I've preached to them about. They all know what they are, so we want to hear what Amen. The Lord is saying.
Amen. Well, the Lord gave me, and a lot of, for years I was doing hermeneutic teaching about the numbers, and of the past 2 or 3 years, the Lord really just said, sit and listen. So I've just been sitting and listening. He'll take me to a scripture, and I'll just write. So, you know, the Bible says that we prophesy, and we prophesy in part. We see through a glass dimly. And so this is a part, but he takes me to a few scriptures, and I feel like the word of the Lord for 2017 for many is a year of completion for many. And the thing that he said to me about this particular year is that many, many people in the body of Christ seem to be have been in seasons of delays. They've been in seasons of detours, distractions to their destiny. And the Spirit of the Lord took me to Psalms 40, verse 17, if you want to turn there. And I love the scripture. I was jumping around, shouting the house. They didn't know what was wrong with me. But how many of you believe in God for something that you know God's laid on your heart, that he really dealt with you about that's going to happen in your life? You've been believing. You haven't seen it. It's been tearing. You feel like, God, I know it. Why hasn't it happened yet? Who am I preaching to tonight? Amen? This is the word of the Lord for you. God, I believe it, that God's about to do some things in 2017 that's going to cause some people to run the pews this year. Amen?
Amen.
And the word of the Lord here in Psalms 40, verse 17 in the King James Version is, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. The New International Version says, but as for me, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help. You're my deliverer. Do not delay. I feel like many people have been in delay because there's been a process. God's been working some things out. I feel like it's been timing for the different things that are taking place in different people's circumstances. But I feel like the Lord spoke to me. He said, many people have felt like the Lord's delaying or tarrying to act in their past years and seasons, circumstances, but God is completing the process this year. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been believing the Lord for many things, and I'm like, God, why hasn't it happened? God's been working some things out inside of me to prepare for it. A lot of times when we're believing God and we're waiting, and the process seems like it's long to God, we're waiting on you, but God's actually developing the character. He's developing the skills. He's developing the things that you need for your next season. So in that, it's so important to rest in that process and allow the Lord to. But I feel like this is the year you're going to see some things shift. You're going to see God bring some distractions and some delays to an end. I think one of the biggest tools of the enemy is to distract us from purpose and destiny. I don't know how many times have you said, I'm going to spend some time in prayer and get so distracted from your prayer time or your Bible reading time. Anybody in here had that happen where you said, I'm going to set out, and you set a time, and everything in the world will come up to keep you from getting to that quiet place? Well, that quiet place is where you're getting revelation. That's where you're getting impartation from the Lord. That's where you're raising the wall up around your family and your purpose. Satan will try to distract you and delay. And I feel like that the Lord sovereignly is going to get rid of those things for us so we can focus on destiny.
That tag team's on one of the things that God showed me about this year, that this would be a year that the renewed or the new wineskin would come. The Bible says in Mark, I think it was chapter 2, that he will not pour new wine into an old wineskin. If you read scriptures, I found this to be a pattern in the scriptures. Many times God will conform the container before he pours it in. You remember when Ezekiel, he said, Son of man, prophesy to the bones. And he prophesied to the bones, and bone came upon bone, sinew and flesh. And you had this exceeding great army standing there, but no breath. And then he said, prophesy to the wind, or prophesy to the breath. And the wind began to come, and it breathed new life into them. He first formed the container. So when Sean was talking about the process, that's where we've been in the process. The process is designed to bring death. That's encouraging, isn't it? So you can see the scripture there. That I believe that's one of the things that God wants to do. And here's the key for us, I believe, in the season to enter into that is we have to be flexible. If we're inflexible, intolerant, unable to allow the Lord to shape us and renew us, that's why many times organizations have a hard time changing. I know in the organizations that I've been a part of, many times they'll hire consultants to come in and they'll write reports and they'll say, here's the 10 things you need to do in order to change. But because there's such an entrenchment in that organization, they can't make that shift and make that change. Therefore, they can never get to the place. They may make some of those changes, but they'll never get to the place that they need to be to really have the maximum effectiveness. So we have to be flexible in this season and ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want to form our wineskin? What do you want to do? Because I want the new wine. And the new wine represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to see an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit? But you want to participate in it and be a part of it. So we ask the Lord to process us so that we will be that new wineskin.
Pastor, I think it's also important to understand that it's important to be patient in your current process. Because summer is necessary, spring is necessary, fall is necessary, and winter is necessary. And if you don't have the full cycles of winter to kill out the diseases, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not going to, it's going to bring an off balance to the ecosystem. And, and all truth is parallel. And we've got to understand that, so listen, I've got some of my best growth going through winter season. You get growth in the valleys. You shout what God did on the mountaintops. You shout on the mountaintops what he did in the valleys. And so we've got to understand that all your seasons, you might be going through something where you feel like you're going through a winter season. And you're like, God, I don't understand this. This is opposite of what I felt like that you had for me. I don't know why I'm having to go through this. But you know what? God will start to work things in you to perfect that which is concerning you, to prepare you for what he has next. And you have to be patient in that season. You have to allow the Lord to build up your character, to build up your focus, and to let the process have its perfect work.
How would you define this year and title this year? I know a lot of, and I've kind of hitchhiked on that, a lot of prophets and prophetic voices in our nation are calling this a year of breakthrough. Because we're looking at the year 5777 and then the year 2017, the Hebrew year, and the year on our Roman calendar, I call it a year to war for your breakthrough, because it's the year that the sword of the Lord is coming down in the earth. So what is God saying to you? How would you define this year? And if you were to put a title in on it, how would you do that?
Well, he gave me four things. And one of them was that he was shifting us out of distractions and delays, which we just covered. That it was a time where God was going to get rid of distractions, get rid of delays. He also said that this was the year of discipleship, and we are going to see the Lord give us uncommon ability to disciple other believers. This is a year to focus on discipleship, personal discipleship, and body discipleship. Listen, we got Generation Z coming up. We talked about the millennials forever. Well, guess what? There's a brand new generation called Generation Z, the ones after them. And guys, they don't know anything. They need to be discipled. They're coming up. They got a lot of passion, but they don't know the Word of God. And so it's up to the body of Christ to be strategic in our discipleship. And so I feel like the Lord said that this year was going to be a year of discipleship where great empowerment and activation and giftings were going to take place, and that we needed not to be distracted. He said that, I felt like the Lord also said that there was a great harvest this year in the book of Joel. It says, it talks about Joel 3:14. In Joel 3:14, it says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And the Lord began to deal with me about a mighty harvest taking place this year. Listen, guys, if you've witnessed to people in the past and you've got a wall, how many of you ever witnessed to somebody try to share your faith and it was just like, bam. And it's like, well, I don't know if I'm, you know, you threw out there and you didn't, not only did you get no bites, they picked the hook up and threw it back in the boat. We've had people where sometimes where you've maybe you were thought you were you might going to, but you were a little intimidated. This is the year to step out in boldness and share your faith. You're going to see people that you never thought would respond to the gospel respond. Listen, God's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. It's not his will that one should perish. And he's looking for people that will go out and be salt. Listen, you're the greatest evangelism tool Jesus will ever have. You're around dozens of people every single day that won't darken the door of a church, but you're around them. And so we have a great responsibility to be sensitive to the Lord and to reach out and receive the harvest. If you'll plant seeds, you're going to see an uncommon harvest of souls in this season. If you'll plant seeds of Jesus and seeds of the gospel, you're going to see people more receptive. You're going to see them respond. This is a great time of harvest. Not only locally, I believe that there is a mighty harvest in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Amen.
I think that our cycles, we get so used to seeing everybody the same cycle, same school, same job. We see each other and we get in our ruts. And sometimes it's hard to keep your focus when you're out in the same things over and over and over and over. Sometimes it's hard to remember and think about evangelism. Think about those people that you see on a daily basis. But I promise you, God's mind is on them. Amen. We might be distracted, but God's not distracted, and his heartbeat is to reach this city. But I also believe that we're going to see an uncommon harvest of people coming to the Lord this year in the public eye. The Lord spoke to me and said we're going to see politicians and musicians and actors and people in the public eye. People,
yes.
People that are have a lot of exposure are going to come to the Lord, make a public confession, and God is going to really, really show himself strong in the public eye this year. So don't be surprised if anybody's heard or maybe seen some of the things that have been happening with Justin Bieber. Anybody who does not know who Justin Bieber is, raise your hand. Everybody know who Justin Bieber is? You know, he went to a Hillsong concert about 2 years ago, and God got a hold of him. And then about 2 months later, he was smoking marijuana in Amsterdam. All this is covered. It's been covered by major news networks. And so his faith and his development has been extremely public, where he's messing up and where he's growing. And he's had people pouring into him. He's had pastors, prominent pastors pouring into him. And you've caught some videos and glimpses where he's sitting there. If you listen to all this new stuff, it doesn't have the perverted lyrics like it was in the past. If you listen to the stuff that he's put out just recently in this past year, you can see a dramatic change in what he's saying. And not only that, we caught a couple of recordings where he was just doing worship sets right on stage at the end of his concert.
So let me ask you a question about that. So as a church, when we start to see God begin to move in the marketplace.
Yes, right.
Not in the church house.
That's right.
So much, but in the marketplace with actors. And our first tendency is to be very judgmental, to just not believe that because we've seen it in the past. And maybe as a church, we are part to blame for that because we haven't reached out to try to reach out to disciple them and embrace them. Many times we just kind of stand back and say, we're going to see if it's real or it's not real. So how should we respond to that?
Well, I think the key is, I mean, you know, every new believer, you know, you have somebody that just comes to the Lord that's not been in church. They don't know what to do or what not to do, okay? God gets a hold of them, and you start to see them you see them encouraged at first. And you know the parable of Mark chapter 4. They get encouraged, but they have no root. So you see them get excited a little bit, but they get attacked. When they get attacked and they're going through their struggle, instead of the church judging them, we should come behind them and say, look, can I help you out? Pray for them. If you can't, listen, if it's somebody obviously like Justin Bieber, you can't do that. But you can pray. And if you see somebody in a public figure or somebody that is here in the public eye, it is absolutely our job to get behind them, to help them. And we've got to be very merciful in this season because, guys, I'm telling you, there's a harvest in this generation in the bars. There's a harvest in this generation in the clubs. I'm telling you, they're there. And I'm not saying go out in the nightclub and go witness. And I had some guys do that years ago, and I didn't work out too good for them. So I'm not saying do that. But what I am saying is, as a body, we need to walk in so much love and so much mercy and so much grace. So when they're coming in, they feel the love of God in us. Look, the church has got to get ready for the harvest that's going to walk through that door. So if not, they're going to walk right back out.
So we don't need to be intimidated.
Absolutely not.
I think a lot of times we've been intimidated. We've been taught to be so separate, you know, that we've been intimidated. If you run up on someone who's struggling in certain areas of sin. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If we can make a place for them to be loved, to be drawn into God's presence, we can't save them, but he can save them.
Pastor, last Sunday night, we had a guy that was on his way to the store, and he was going to get some alcohol, and he just got tanked. He ended up coming to the church. He called somebody, and they said, come on. Now, guys, you could be in the back of the church, and you could smell him. But he was in the front. You could smell him all over. And it was bad. It was not. He wasn't just tipsy. He was toasted. This guy was drunk. I'm like, oh Lord, here we go. But you know what? He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He got delivered. God touched him. He was weeping and crying. You know, at first I'm like, man, you know where the kids at? Get, you know, right? So we have to be wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove.
Now there've been revivals even in this area in the past, where people have come into church in a state of intoxication, and the power of God would touch them, save them, and deliver them, and they would leave as sober as a believer.
That's right.
So if God could do that 30 years ago, can God not do it today?
That's right.
Do you feel that a part of this harvest will be prodigals?
Yes, Pastor, I do. I absolutely do. Matter of fact, the one of the things that the Spirit of God said is that let me just read this directly. The Lord spoke, he said that 2017 will be a year of healing in my body. My people will be healed from distracting injuries, from infirmities. When I say distracting injuries, you know, I don't know about you, but I have some injuries that sometimes they don't cause me to be disabled, but they sure enough cause me to get to the point where sometimes it takes my focus on it instead of what I need to be doing. I don't know about you. Anybody got aches and pains in here?
Oh, no.
Amen. I got an L5 that doesn't exist, and sometimes that sucker will hurt. And it's not putting me on my back, but it distracts me a lot of times. And I felt like the Lord said he's healing some distracting injuries, some infirmities. But he said, I'm healing my body too. God is going to restore the fractured places in his body. Houseless believers, hurt soldiers, the wandering children of God will be restored in 2017. Many houseless believers will find a home church, and they will start to grow spiritually again. A home to refresh in the presence of God. They will come drink deeply. So I absolutely believe that God is doing that.
Can we just pause for a moment? And right now, how many of you are dealing with something physically in your body, right where you're at? You need a touch from heaven. You have one of those. I have one of those distracting injuries as well. And it'll flare up at times, and you're just trying to get through your day. You're not thinking real spiritual. You're trying to get through your day. How many of you would say that's me? I need that. I need God to touch me in some way in my body. Just raise your hand. Lead us in a prayer right where you're at right now. Just if you're nearby, just lay your hand on them. Just reach over and touch them.
Father, we know that you're able to heal us, Lord. We've seen you heal. We know that by your stripes we're healed. We know, God, that your blood is sufficient. God, we know that the prayer of faith saves the sick. And God, collectively right here tonight, we come before an almighty God, the same God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, with your spirit that lives inside of us. So, Father, tonight we ask you, even right now, as we are praying, we receive healing. We come against infirmities. We come against sickness. We come against injuries, God, in every area, in ligaments and joints and muscles. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that we loose those injuries by the blood of the Lamb. We say thank you, Father, that your blood is sufficient. And God, we receive healing. We receive grace, we receive mercy, and we thank you, God, that you're able, and we receive it by faith right now. And Lord, as we're here in our daily walk, when we feel those symptoms, we will remind those symptoms that your word is true over what we feel in the name of Jesus. Now, if you just prayed that and you're receiving that, I just want you to, by faith, if you've got a pain in your body, move it right now. If something's bothering you, there's pain, or maybe something that you couldn't do, try to do that and by faith and see what the Lord will do. Because I'm telling you, that's an act. Many times I'll have pains and I'll just start to believe God, and by an act of faith, I'll just move it. And God will touch me right there and that pain will go immediately.
Amen. As you know, we've just inaugurated a new president, President Trump. Last year, the Lord told us this will be a year of political volatility. And if ever there was a volatile election, and I think even now it's still a lot of volatility, a lot of division in our nation. How would you challenge us to pray for our new president and to pray for our nation?
Pastor, two years ago, was it 2 years ago that we got together after fasting and praying for the beginning of the year? And there were four or five different people that we know that had the same word about the atmosphere over America being in a riot state.
Yes.
I believe that we have got to pray against civil unrest. It's the same spirit that was working before when President Obama was in office. It's the same spirit that's trying to bring civil unrest. It's working through a different political party. Same spirit that wants to cause problems. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. My problem wasn't with President Obama. My problem's not with this current. My problem's not with a man. It is the spirit that is trying to work in our nation to bring civil unrest. And so that it is important to pray for. I feel now more than ever that we do need to pray that he will have wisdom, and that when he tries to apply a lot of the things that he wants to do, he's going to need wisdom, because some of the things, as you said, can have an extremely negative impact globally. And I think already, even on the immigration, I travel to places that sometimes it's extremely hard to get a visa. And according to even today, he was talking about some immigration policies that he's going to stop taking the visas, and he's going to cancel. And pause a lot of these programs until we can work out getting some of these some illegals or the nations that have terrorists in them. Well, we're going over to the 1040 window, and it's hard enough to get visas in Pakistan already. And God told me this year to go back to Pakistan. I wanted to go to Australia, Pastor, or somewhere else.
I'll go there for you.
And he said, go back to Pakistan. I'm like, oh man. But I'm going to obey God. And so I know that if we are having political crisis, the doors to many of these nations will shut for us. And so we really need, y'all pray for our ministry, because we plan on going back and forth as much as possible while these doors are open to Pakistan. We did an hour and a half from the Afghanistan border, we did meetings, and we're going to continue to do that.
Share a little bit of what God did while you were in Pakistan, maybe how many?
There's about over 3,500 Muslims came to the Lord during
wow.
2 weeks. They were getting healed. They were getting healed just by through worship, during worship. We saw a young man, 8-year-old, his eyes open up. We saw someone couldn't walk healed. I mean, they're coming to the Lord by the tens of thousands over there. Actually, the pastor in Karachi, Pastor Asher for the PH Church in Karachi, they're having people, 70, 80,000 people gathering a night in these meetings. They've just swelled up to phenomenal numbers for a nation that's under Sharia law with 2% Christian. Jesus is pouring his spirit out the 1040 window, and it is phenomenal. So I know that he's using the church locally, but they're the indigenous people of that area. But it is important. They are living under a different atmosphere. It means a very different thing to go to church in Pakistan. If there was a bomb threat here and the Taliban said they're going to blow you up for coming, how many of you think you would be here tonight? I mean, let's just be really honest. That happened just 2 weeks after I left. They blew up a church, killed 140 people. The next week, they said, we're going to bomb it again next Sunday. They called Pastor Khalid, who's coming here the Super Bowl Sunday, the weekend, and he preached, and 20,000 believers showed up. They just have a faith that is just incredible. And they need help. They need support. So as long as those doors are open, we need to pray for our president. We need to pray for his cabinet, that they wouldn't have not just an American agenda, but they would have God's agenda, so that some of these doors wouldn't shut. Big deal.
Yeah. When you hear a president say, put America first, I understand that. And I want him to restore jobs. I want there to be a good economy. But we need to ask the Lord to keep those doors of opportunity open. Because, see, we're global. We're a citizen of another country representing that country to the nations of the earth. Now, let me ask you this. As we pray for this new president, one of the things I believe God is doing is he's calling the local church in this season to make more of a transition. That's a part of this repositioning. That's a part of this new wineskin, to be more apostolic in what we do. How would you define how the church should be positioned, and what should a church look like in this time that we're in?
And a lot of times, a lot of people that are coming into the body of Christ right now don't have a background in church. And so when you say terms like apostolic and you say terms like Pentecostal, when you say terms, they don't know what you're talking about. They think the worst case usually. So this is a time of discipleship because we got to think that we've got to treat that we have to disciple like they don't know anything because a lot of them don't. But it is, and what you're saying is that apostolic is training. It is the mindset is Ephesians chapter 4, he gave the fivefold ministry to equip the saints. And this, we are shifting in to a body-wide movement where all the work of the church is not resting on the pastor and the associate pastor and the youth pastor. You're going to see the greatest revival take place through the body, the people who attend on a regular basis that are out in the seven mountains of society, the different doors of society, and you're going to reap the greatest harvest. That's why discipleship is so important. So I do believe that it is so important as a body. We think apostolically to train each person in their gifting. You know, I had an opportunity to talk to a mighty man of God. I think he's apostle to the nations. And he founded Kingsway Christian International in London. And his name is Matthew Ashumalo. He's a Nigerian that moved from Lagos he has the largest church in the UK right now. I was in Daystar about 5-6 years ago. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, son, you're going to talk to somebody that has done some significant things and pick their brain. He said, ask them questions. And I'm driving out there because I was preaching revivals at different churches on my way. And so I thought that it might be the founders of Daystar Network because they have done a lot of things over the past 5 years to expand that network. But it was not. It was this man. God said, here it is. So I asked him, 1,000 churches in 10 years he planted. So I asked him, I said, sir, how in the world did you see a man from Nigeria move to London and see not only the largest church in the UK, but go to 1,000 satellite churches? And he looked at me and he looked me up and down like, who are you? And he said, God. I said, praise God. That's a good answer. But then he said, I said, sir, can you tell me what you did during that time? He said, I equipped the saints. I would, when they got saved, I would train them. When I saw what the anointing of God was resting on them for, if we had a ministry already that had that, I would let them go in it. If we didn't have one, I would empower them to start one. So it was simply the body being the body, going out and just letting your giftings go out in the culture and make an impact. And I believe that is going to be the biggest shift you see in the body of Christ in this next season.
So an apostolic center would be a teaching, training, sending center.
Missional in its very heart.
The heart would be for the local community, but it also would have an international aspect to it. Because what I believe is God is going to shift world missions back to the local church. More so than just mission societies and mission organizations. Nothing wrong with those, and missionaries are my favorite people. They're my heroes. To leave this country and go to another country, they're my heroes. But I really see missions, the local church taking that on and coming alongside and maybe partnering with those missions organizations. When I say that, I'm not saying that missions organizations are going to go out of business. I'm just saying that the local church is going to get more of a vision outside of our four walls. Now with Facebook Live and all of the social media and the internet, man, we can touch nations. Tonight, if we went live on Facebook, we could start touching. We'd be surprised at that. Now, you brought up Kingsway. So let me ask you this. So how do you see, the church being positioned for the harvest in this season? Now, do you believe this spirit that's working in America, do you believe that the Leviathan spirit is working in America?
I believe the Leviathan spirit, but also I think one of the greatest strongholds that has worked in the past 20 or 30 years in America has been the Python spirit as well. And they're very similar. Mm-hmm. They choke the life out of the church. They choke the life out of believers. And blindness yeah. right now that is on people from receiving the gospel. If you go over to Europe, I've been to many European nations and done street evangelism, Germany and France and Holland. And when you go and you preach the gospel to them, it's like a blindness over them that you don't see over here in America. And it's really freaky, honestly. But I believe that Leviathan spirit, that Python spirit is bringing a blindness. But this year is a year that you're going to see the Lord break that slumber and that blindness in an uncommon way.
Would you say that a python spirit, you know, constrict. And they'll, once you breathe, it constricts again, and it basically suffocates its prey. Don't bite it and kill it that way, but it just suffocates. Would you say that operates out of a spirit of witchcraft? Is that closely aligned?
It is very closely aligned, but it also If you, in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul dealt with a young girl who was saying, hey, Paul, this is a man of God, this is a man of God. And he turned around and he cast a spirit out of her in that same hour because she was using divination. Mm-hmm. That word divination actually is pythionos. So that's where we get that from. And it does use witchcraft, but also can be charismatic witchcraft as well.
Yes. Define charismatic witchcraft.
Charismatic witchcraft is where your soul and your soul is involved with it. It's not the will of God. It's not the Bible. And you are actually projecting not God's will through word curses, where you're speaking negative things against people. You are you're pushing your own will rather than God's will, through prayer. And it ain't prayer at all. It's what you want instead of what God's want. It boils down to, if you've seen a lot of people take in context, they'll spend time preaching about prosperity. And then they'll say, okay, God's saying you give everybody, give $1,000 or you're going to fall over dead. I've heard of African people and African churches, that's common, where $1,000 for a prophecy or spend all this time taking God's word out of context and then using it for their own personal gain. That's charismatic witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be very careful that when we are using God's word and we're saying, thus saith the Lord, that it is in a context that is for what his word says, in alignment with his spirit, and not something that our flesh or our soul gets involved in.
Especially when you're declaring, this is the word of the Lord, I believe, number one, that word should be confirmed in the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses. Number two, I believe that word should edify and build us up, lift us up. And how do I know when there's a word that comes forth in the congregation? There will be a corporate amen. There will be, the congregation will affirm it. It will bear witness with our spirit, and there'll be an affirmation of that in the congregation. So I would define charismatic witchcraft as well as being, I'm trying to exercise my will over your will, so I'm going to use whatever means I can, and I'm functioning out of my soulish man instead of flowing in the Holy Spirit.
It's manipulation.
Manipulation. That's good. Domination. Those are aspects of that. Now, Leviathan. Let me give you a definition that I heard about Leviathan. God's been dealing with me about the spirit of Leviathan, and I'm going to teach on it. And Leviathan is defined by some scholars like a sea monster, like it's a large animal. But I heard, I believe it was Dr. Ron Phillips said that he believed that Leviathan could have been what the Old Testament writers were describing was like the Nile crocodile. And they can grow. How many of you saw that video of this big old alligator in Florida? I'm
yes.
telling you, make it. I'm not going to go hiking on those trails at night. I mean, that rascal was huge.
It looked like a dinosaur.
He was, yeah. Well, a Nile crocodile of that time could grow up to 20 feet long. And he said that what happens is that crocodile will clamp down and they pull their prey. They don't kill their prey with their jaws, and the alligator as well. They pull them into the water and they do the death roll. They twist. So that's the way Leviathan works. It'll take and it'll twist the truth, twist things. Many times if a spirit of Leviathan's working, you can be preaching a message, and if Leviathan's working, he can take that message and he can twist that thing, and by the time someone gets it, they hear something very different than what you said.
Which that girl did in the book of Acts. She
yes.
she said, yes, this is a man of God, but she was trying to twist the intent. So absolute same thing.
If this is a year breakthrough, and I believe that it is, how many of you are believing for breakthrough this year? He talked about a harvest. Many of us are praying for people to come to Jesus that need salvation. And many of us are facing problems in our family that we may not even want to talk about publicly, because there's no human answer short of God intervening in those problems. If this is a year of breakthrough, how do we position ourselves for that breakthrough?
I think that the key in this season is being aware, don't be apathetic. This is a time to be focused, to be passionate. You know, the greatest commandment of all is to love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. All the Old Testament, New Testament, depends on this one commandment. If I'm loving God more than anything else, Pastor, I'm going to be focused on what the Spirit of God is doing. I'm not going to be, my mind is not going to be so caught up in the things of this world that's going on around me. And we all have things that try to distract us. And they're not bad things in themselves, but if they distract us from the main thing, then they can be. So I think the key in this season is making first love. Putting Him first in everything that you do, and you'll be in tune with what's going on a daily basis. If you're making Him first in your life, He is going to make make sure that you're tapped into what he's doing. Pastor also believes that it is the breaker's anointing is being released, and you're going to see, God said, start teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and pray for people. We're going to see people get filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues, more so this year than we have in many years. And many people are going to get healed this year. So I am and delivered. Deliverance is going to be a hallmark this year. People are who've been struggling with things for many years, struggling with biblical strongholds, mindsets, you're going to see them get set free this year. So I'm excited because I want to see some people healed. Amen. I want to see some people delivered.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I got people I love that I know are lost and going to hell, and not on my watch. Slap your neighbor on the back and say, not on our watch. Amen.
So they were four things that you felt God was saying for this year. Will you run us through them real quick?
Yes, he's going to stop the delays. So God is going to take away distractions and delays. It's a year of harvest. It's a year of discipleship, and it's a year of breakthrough.